was hoping it would be easier the second time, but feeling like it's not. But hey, God gives us weaknesses, so we need each other, right?
Amen.
Just want to say, Wendell and Ken, thank you for the encouragement as you saw me stressed out a little bit back there. So let's open this time with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time that we can be here. And Father, we need you every hour. And Father, be with me as I speak, and help the words be from you and not from me. And if there is anything from me, give each one wisdom to weed out the things that that are of me and are not of you. And Lord, I thank you for this message, and I thank you for how you have ministered to me through this message. And I ask that you would open hearts so that they may hear and see the things that I have heard and seen through this, and be blessed in the same way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This message came in the works for the last 2 months. Well, it's an opening. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to call it a message or an opening, but this opening was in the works for like the last 2 months. I knew that it's something that I wanted to do, and as I've been reading in my devotions every day, I've been seeing things that I've been adding to this, and it's been really good. But this past week was really hard for me. And thank you everyone for the encouragement that you have given me in this past week. This message was exactly what I needed to be talking about this week, because it's exactly what I needed to hear. I really didn't want to bring this message at the beginning of last week, to be honest. Like, I was like, this is exactly what I need, but I don't want to be fixed yet. it's funny how we do that sometimes. But the fact that God knew that this is what I needed this week is what started bringing my thinking around to back to him. And it proved to me that God loves me. And he knew 2 months ago, when I decided on this topic, that I would need this to remind me of his perfect fathering, that he isn't manipulative, that he wants what's best for us, and that he is always there for us, knowing us better than we know ourselves, loving us more than we love ourselves. Hopefully you can not only see some of these things as well, but really let them sink in and deeply know them. Okay. So, everyone who was at the devotion I did in Louisiana, wait for other people to answer first. So everybody, this is not a rhetorical question. What are some things that separate us from the world?
Meaning in life.
Meaning in life. Yep. Well, that's tiny. Oh, man. Okay. If I spell something really, really wrong, it's because I'm not even thinking about what I'm writing. anything else?
Sins are forgiven.
Forgiven sins. Where did that come from? Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah, it has to do with the allegory that's coming from this. So I'm not sure exactly where to write it. But Oh, I think that would go down here. Come on, we want to fill this area.
Peace.
Wow. That was cool.
Joy. Love our neighbors.
Light. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. I guess I can worship. All right. I guess we can settle with that. Thank you, everyone. There's no brown. Use this. So, I intended this to be a tree. I guess that's tree-like. This area is the area of knowing God. So, knowing God, I should start up here actually. All of these come from a love of God. Probably should have wrote that across instead of in the trunk, but and then that comes from knowing God, right? Okay. Just wanted to give that visual. So, I will start with a story that I heard from a message that impacted me heavily when I was 18. I was listening to a message by Francis Chan, and he asked the question, like, in a story form, if you could live for all eternity without pain or hardship and have everything you want here on earth, and you could just live eternally like that, you know, your mansion, your pool, your Lamborghini, your whatever you want. Just picture that and think of having that forever, except you don't have Christ. Would you be happy there? My answer to that question was yes at that time. I would be happy. I would probably be happy. And so I had to wonder what was wrong with my view of Christ and what was I missing. And that brought me to ask this question of myself. And I want you to ask these questions of yourself here today. Do you want to see Jesus? Are you excited to see him? And are his commandments a burden on your life? I think this addressing those questions will address everything else. A while ago, Melvin talked about, what was that, an allegory, a castle with balloons over it, and those can be balloons, or they can be in the trunk, or they can be in the roots. But I want to talk about the trunk today. And if you address the love of God, it should address everything above that. All of these desires in this foliage area should come from a love of God. But that's not the reason we should love God. After all, Jesus did say, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you keep my commandments, you will love me. I don't know if that makes sense. I thought about it for a while. That was the most concise way I could think of. So hopefully that makes sense to you. And that's the way I looked at it for a very, very long time. You know, if I just keep his commandments, that's my proof that I love him. And he will love me. But how do I explain it? That's not what Jesus wanted, is what I'm saying. But then why do we love God? And so I wanted to take us to a few scriptures that I have seen the reasons in my life why to love God. And one of them is in Job chapter 9. It's really the whole chapter, but I'm going to try to summarize it and the last few verses, kind of get to the point. So Job chapter 9, verses 32 through 35. This is Job talking to God. After days of pain and sorrow and suffering. And he's not very happy. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. And we see God's reply just a few chapters over, really 38 through 40, 41. But I'm going to go to chapter 40. It's hard to summarize all of these chapters in a short way, but 40 verses 8 through 14, I think, is a good section. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? How have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own righteous hand, that your own hand can save you. So God didn't actually give Job a direct answer to his to his specific problem. But he proved to Job in all of these chapters, and if you guys don't know what's in all of these chapters, I would say go home and, you know, check these out, because these are amazing chapters, 38 through 41. God proved in these chapters that he is all-knowing and that he can determine what is best because he is all-knowing. And we see his goodness in every day and his consistency. I was talking to Emmanuel about that this morning. Here, I don't know where that he ordains the sunrise. He ordains every morning to come up, and you know you take that for granted. But he could just get mad and just stop. Like, how many of us would after all the things that people have put him through? But God kind of gave Job his resume, if you will, and said, "Here's my qualifications," and then Job actually sees who God is, and that's just over a page in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. I'll read. This is Job talking to God. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You realize that I just exist for a moment, and I don't ordain when a mountain goat can give birth. I don't know how long it's going to take them. I don't know. I can't make the morning rise. I can't make the stars separate. And God can do all of those things and is sovereign and everlasting. And he, because of all those things, Job could see that God knows best. So another answer. If you recall, how did Job say it? He said, He is not a man that I can take him to court. There's no mediator between us. I thought that was interesting. And over in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we see that there is a mediator and to plead our case. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So here's another reason that we should love God. He understands us. He went through all of the same things and more. And I think I'll just let that speak for itself and stop there before I mess it up. And then jumping over to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So that's one that amazes me and should amaze all of us. We were the scum of the earth. He had no reason to love us. He came to die for us and to make us whole, to redeem us. And And I never actually did this before this week, but when it says God loves us, did you ever think of 1 Corinthians 13? For some reason, I never have thought of 1 Corinthians 13 in the context of, like, God's love. I don't know. For some reason, I always thought of that as, like, human love, and didn't make the correlation to God loves us that way. But if you haven't thought of that, that's definitely something worth doing. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13. This has been a long time verse that I love, but only recently have I seen the proof of God's love in it. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We see here that when we are still committing a sin against God, he's reaching out for us and saying, he's still saying, I still love you and I still want to provide a way out of this. And that's just amazing. Like, how many people will do that? And then I want to jump over to Colossians 3, verses 11 through 17, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's amazing that that's what God wants for us, and we tend to allow the flesh to dig in and fight him, but even when we don't desire what is best for us, he's still putting people in our lives, and we're supposed to be people in other people's lives that bring us that love and that forgiveness and make us into that sanctified person that he wants us to be. And that we should want to be. Another point is that God loves us all personally. My reference for that is 1 Timothy 2:4, but I'm not going to go there since I'm running low on time. But God's love can look like a weak love, maybe, to us who only know a love that has favorites. You know, if you love somebody, it means you hold them, like, higher in your mind than other people. Maybe that's just me being a, you know, not having a bunch of siblings. But he loves us all equally. And sometimes we can feel like that's unfair, but it isn't, and we know it. He also knows us beyond our own understanding of ourselves. References for that is Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, and Matthew 6, 8. That knowledge, coupled with his existence outside of time, is why he can judge people on a heart basis and make decisions based upon future events. And we can be comfortable with that. So how do we know we love God? That's a big question, right? It's a huge question. And we might be unsure of it, and that's okay at times, I think. But we just, like, you know, you do some things because you need to do them for people you love, even though you don't really feel like you might love them, doesn't mean that you stop loving them in action, is what I meant by that. So one thing that I thought of was that we hate sin. And as I'm reading through the Psalms, I can see that everywhere. I think if anybody reads through the Psalms, you can see it pretty easily, that if we love God, we will hate sin, and we will hate the things that deform this world and bring it into darkness and into evil doing. And then also we keep his commandments, and they are not burdensome. I guess that's part of the hating sin, kind of, because if you don't like the things that God doesn't like, then it's not burdensome to keep those commandments that are against sin. But a reference for that is 1 John 5:3 and John 14, 15 through 24. I guess you can write those down if you want to look them up later. And I don't think I have time for some of the rest of the things, but that's okay. This is something that's been on my heart this week, and I feel like I rushed it, so I'm sorry, but hopefully everybody heard what was said and maybe even wrote down the references and can go home and study them on your own time. And if you didn't and you want those references that I came up with, or want to tell me something I'm wrong about, or whatever, just come talk to me. I hope God has blessed you in the way that he has blessed me through these verses. Thank you, everyone.